You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show on Indy's Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports. Good morning, race fans, and welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly, always joined by Hank Williams Jr., long-lost son, Jeremiah Penrod. How are you doing, my brother, this morning?
I had a Fast and Furious moment trying to get
here.
I know.
You told me about it. Yeah. Garrett Burkle, I would introduce the biggest Purdue fan I know during this moment, but he is busy doing an interview with Coach Taylor, men's basketball coach for the Ben Davis Giants. But until he gets in here, we're going to discuss some racing news, and we're going to start off today with Formula One. They just recently had a race at Las Vegas. And, wow, what an interesting race right on the Las Vegas Strip. There's been a lot of controversy with this event with, you know, how expensive tickets are and fans, you know, having to leave practice early and not be able to watch. And there's, you know, been a ton of people that, you know, can't afford to go to this event and go watch Formula One cars on the Las Vegas Strip, and at Las Vegas, they're doing everything they can to get videos because it's crazy how expensive Formula One tickets are.
Those things are wicked expensive. I have attempted to look at the ticket prices for some of them, and it's
unreal. Like you should even see their merch. Their merchandise is crazy too. Like,
am I going to George Strait and and Morgan Wallen afterwards?
It's pretty insane how expensive Formula One tickets are. I mean, in my opinion, I think the best open wheel racing in the entire world is IndyCar. It's the most competitive. Tickets are way more affordable than Formula One. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really do get that Formula One is starting to really become popular in the United States. I get that. I mean, thanks to, you know, Netflix's Formula One Drive to Survive documentary where they document, like, they do like a 10-episode series, document the season from different teams' perspectives and go through the season and whatnot. But, yeah, I think it's really neat and very exciting that Formula One is coming more to the States. I mean, we have three Grand Prix in the United States of America, which, kudos to America right there. I'm just going to clap a hand there. I think that's, you know, pretty incredible from how far that we've come. You know, Formula One started racing at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the U.S. Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. And then I'm trying to think, was it 2006 was their last race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway? And then they went to that all because there's a whole tire, you know, controversy there. And then they went to – they built the U.S. Grand Prix in Austin, Texas, which, mm-hmm. okay, I mean, you got to have a U.S. Grand Prix. I mean, these guys race all over the world. I mean, it's Formula One. It's Formula One. I mean, it's – these drivers are, you know, if you want me to quote it, the best, quote-unquote, best in the world because they race all across the world. And now that we have three Grand Prix in the U.S., it's really awesome how far Formula One's popularity has come in the past few years.
It's a shame they'll never be better than NASCAR.
Jeremiah Penrod, he said, it'll be a shame that they'll never be better than NASCAR. But we're just going to dive into the results here. Max Verstappen wins again, so nothing new there. I'd also like to mention that Red Bull were rocking these Elvis Presley-style uniforms. Max Verstappen had a white one on. Sergio Perez had a red one on. Really neat and absolutely amazing. Wow. Max Verstappen's fire suit looked very identical to the one I have at home. I have an Elvis Presley costume at home. Shout out to Mama Nelly for buying me that. And I performed If I Can Dream of That for a coffeehouse performance. But anyway, back to the racing here, just without all the sponsorship and everything. But I thought it was really cool that they paid a tribute to the King of Rock and Roll.
Mm-hmm.
and Elvis Presley.
Awesome. That was awesome.
Charles Leclerc finished second for Ferrari. Great result for him. Qualified on pole. Sergio Perez third. Fourth, Esteban Ocon for Alpine. Great result for him. Started in the back of the field. Fifth, Lance Stroll. He started back in the field as well. And Carlos Sainz finishing sixth, which we'll talk about him later and why that's so important, why he finished sixth. Seventh, Lewis Hamilton. Eighth, George Russell. Ninth, Fernando Alonso. And 10th, Oscar Piastri will round out the top 10 from the Las Vegas Grand Prix. We'll talk about later that Lando Norris, he finished 20th. He was in an accident, and we'll get into that later. We're going to talk about right now, actually. So he started from 15th on the grid. I'm getting this from Formula1.com. I got to shout out your sources. But it was on lap four of the race, and Lando Norris lost the back of the car, causing him to spin out on the straight and hit the wall approaching turn 12. This is what team principal of McLaren, Andrea Stella, had to say about the incident. There's a bump in that place. There's a bump, and you can see all the cars spark when you go through this bump. And I think the combination of this bump and the cold tires might have surprised them. Otherwise, we didn't see any issue in the car or of different nature. So he had to go to the infield care center, but he's released, and everything's okay. So, I mean, yeah, that's not even the worst incident. The worst incident was on November 18th. Mm-hmm. Carlos Sainz, during first practice of the Grand Prix, he was in an incident where he ran over a Las Vegas drain cover. And he quoted that he couldn't feel his legs after that crash. Yeah.
That's not good for a driver.
No, you can't have that, especially how low these Formula One cars are to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And how much downforce is put on these cars. That's why they're so, low to the ground, because they want all that downforce and everything.
The center of gravity.
And the center of gravity. But you can't, how are you going to have a Grand Prix and you don't know about this, or you don't take care of
a bump,
or I should just say a drain cover. How don't you take care of that?
I don't know.
Maybe this was a $500 million race, $500 million, and you can't tell me that you didn't see that about cost a driver's life.
Two
drivers, like. If you talk about Lando Norris's incident, but there was so much controversy with this event. I mean, from the get go, and he was even penalized. Yeah, he was penalized for it. Carlos Sainz and Ferrari. Yep, they're penalized. Yep, yep. I'd like to go into more detail. The FIA said Sainz hit the concrete frame around the cover. It took another 11 minutes for the governing body to call all cars off the track so we can inspect the entire circuit. This was on CBS. Getting this article from CBS. So, this is what Freddie Valsner had to say about the incident. He is the team principal of Ferrari. Just unacceptable incident would keep Sainz from participating. But it's even crazier that he was able to finish ahead of both Mercedes drivers. Unbelievable.
There was also a video
captured by
fans and the traffic cameras.
Yeah, there's videos. It's pretty insane. It's scary crash. So yeah, all I have to say is the Las Vegas Grand Prix, I didn't watch it. I didn't see anything about the Grand Prix, but I just know there's a lot of mixed bag emotions and feelings about this event.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great that Formula One is, getting more involved in the United States, but if you spend $500 million on a race and you don't cover a simple drain cover,
or make sure that the bump is not smoothed out,
or something like that. Some bumps are acceptable, but if it's not,
if it makes sparks as the cars go,
especially right there, that's mm-hmm. ridiculous. That is
and then,
the safety of the drivers,
and then you penalize the driver and his team.
And it's not even his fault. That's a geographical fault of the city of Las Vegas and this the track inspectors, everyone going over that. Like, how don't you see that? I mean, things can happen. I get that, but it's just like he quoted he couldn't feel his legs after, you know, running over the drain cover.
Any big wreck with one of these cars could easily cost the drivers their life.
Yeah, because they're open wheel cars. Mm-hmm. First off, these new cars,
they are designed to break apart.
Yeah, these
on impact, yeah, these, to save the driver, but easily one of these pieces of shrapnel could lodge themselves into the driver.
These new cars, the design of the new cars after the 2020 season. No, excuse me. 2021 season.
Mm-hmm.
2022 came around, and new cars. Mercedes had issues with these cars because of the porpoising and how low to the ground these new Formula One cars are. I mean, they're like glue. They are stuck to the ground. Like, it's just, you just can't have that. You mm-hmm. seriously can't have that. You really can't. That's,
especially with a Formula One track.
Yeah, like, and I mean, you're racing over 200 miles an hour on the Las Vegas Strip. I mean, I don't know. We'll just have to move on there. I just, you know, I think that more precaution has to be taken into inspecting a racetrack, and you know, if this is a $500 million event,
it better be as close to perfect as humanly possible.
Yeah, that can't happen. That seriously cannot happen. I mean, You, this prestigious event, everyone was so hyped. I mean, everyone was so hyped for this Las Vegas Grand Prix.
Like, you best be rolling over that track with steamrollers. The
hype was there from all over United States. I mean, coming to Las Vegas, Las Vegas Strip, I mean, this is really cool. Like, we're racing in the city of Las Vegas. But you can't cover a simple drain cover with $500 million.
Or a bump.
So,
helicopter in the steamroller. Yeah. Just on that one little area. Back and forth a couple times. Make sure it's nice and flat.
Yep.
And just pick it up and go away.
We're going to go over our legal ID. You are listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show with Jeremiah Penrod and Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. You're listening to WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. It's currently 8:01 a.m. We're going to some NASCAR news. Rest in peace to the great Ken Squire.
Man, you got no bedside manner. I was gonna break it easy, like.
It's very unfortunate.
It's a loss.
One of the greatest play-by-play broadcasters in the history of TV broadcasting for NASCAR. Was born in 1935. Passed away on Wednesday of last week, and he was 28 years old.
Huh?
No, 88. Jeez Louise, holy crap. I don't know why I said 28. Wow. I am so
sorry. Vampire years?
Yeah, sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry. 88. Wow. Okay.
I mean, he did look good for 88.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Ken Squire, yeah, rest in peace to one of the greatest play-by-play broadcasters in the history of broadcasting NASCAR. This is a quote. By NASCAR Chairman CEO Jim France. Though he never sat behind the wheel of a stock car, Ken Squire contributed to the growth of NASCAR as much as any competitor. Ken was a superb storyteller, and his unmistakable voice is the soundtrack to many of NASCAR's greatest moments. His calls on TV and radio brought fans closer to the sport, and for that, he was a fan favorite. Ken knew no strangers, and he'll be missed by all. On behalf of the France family and all of NASCAR, I offer my condolences to the family and friends of Ken Squire. This is kind of Ken Squire's, you know, resume, working career for play-by-play NASCAR. Squire worked with the Motor Racing Network, which he co-founded. I did not actually know that. During the 1970s, one of his most iconic calls was the 1979 Daytona 500. Man, I remember that. Oh, yeah. I remember that like it was yesterday.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. I don't remember. I remember, like, I mean, obviously I wasn't born in, you know, the
just making sure
1970s and 80s, but I remember, you know, watching that clip over and over again of his call during the 1979 Daytona 500. He's like, I mean, I'll just start it right here. I'm going to try my best on the play-by-play. He's like, and Cale hits him. Donnie Allison, Cale Yarbrough. And then they eventually, you know, fought and duked it out after crashing each other out on the back straightaway on the final lap of the Daytona 500.
I'm going to rewatch that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. So this is, and then he has this iconic, you know, call, and there's a fight, and that's how he kind of says it. Yeah, that was his most memorable call, and the cameras caught the scuffle between Yarbrough and Donnie. Oh, and Bobby Allison. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. Bobby Allison was also in the fight, and he wasn't even a part of the wreck. He was helping out.
Hey, that's a good friend right there.
He's helping. I believe he's helping out his brother Donnie.
I'm on fire.
So yeah. He was helping Donnie out during the fight. Ken Squire also coined the phrase, so the Great American Race. He came up with that phrase, the Great American Race, for the Daytona 500. That's why we call it the Great American Race. Throughout his illustrious career, Squire called races for Motor Racing Network, CBS, and TBS through 1997. He then became a host until 2000. But even after that, he was never far from racing and was brought back to do segments of the Southern 500 for NBC Sports in 2015 and again over the last few years. I forgot to mention about that. Yeah, so during the Southern 500 throwback weekend, you'd have Ken Squire back up in the booth doing play-by-play for NASCAR, and he'd kind of be like a tribute to, you know, all the, you know, amazing, unique, old-school paint schemes and just racing at the track too tough to tame, like Darlington Raceway. So, Squire's broadcasting career started at his father's radio station, WEV, in his native Vermont in 1960. He opened Thunder Road Speedway in his home state. So, wow, Ken Squire opening up a racetrack in his home state. How about that?
2013 NASCAR Hall of Fame introduced the Squire Hall Award for NASCAR Media
Excellence. That's awesome.
Named after Squire. And Squire was introduced to the NASCAR Hall of Fame in 2018 as well. So,
absolutely amazing.
Dude's brought so much to this.
Yep.
He will be.
He's going. In my opinion, I think he's the greatest play-by-play broadcaster for NASCAR ever in the history. You have Ken Squire, Bob Jenkins. Those are my two guys. Those are my guys that are at the top of the pedestal for NASCAR broadcasting.
Pinnacle of modern man's achievements.
Yeah. And then I'm gonna go. Third, give it to my man Alan Bestwick. I love Alan Bestwick. His energy, especially during the 2014 championship and season finale race at Homestead Miami Speedway, which I'm kind of biased. That was when Kevin Harvick won his first NASCAR Cup Series championship and his only NASCAR Cup Series championship, unless he plans to unretire. But he had a great call. He had a great call that race, and he had a great call when Dale Jr., I believe it was 2001, where it was the July race, and he came back to win that race at Daytona International Speedway. And he was like, "And lessons learned from his father," and it's like Dale Earnhardt Jr. goes from sixth to first, and he wins the Pepsi 400.
That was a cool race.
Yeah, that was a great call with Michael Waltrip finishing, you know, second. Lessons learned from his father's, you know, talking about Dale Earnhardt Sr., of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the greatest NASCAR drivers of all time, 7 championships, over 70 race wins, a ton at Talladega Super Speedway. Unfortunately, only won Daytona 500, but at least he won. Always had bad luck at Daytona, but he's won the most non expedition races for the Daytona 500, and he's won the most there. So here we go. We're going to talk about more NASCAR news. Chase Elliott undergoes a shoulder procedure. Another surgery for Chase Elliott. this is, you know, he, this is what I wanted to quote here. So last season, Chase Elliott, this is from NBC Sports. We knew about this, but he missed six races early in the 2023 season with a fractured tibia, because he, you know, he injured himself during the snowboarding incident in Colorado. So, is that your shoulder? But he missed a ton of races last season because of. Yeah, so I might, is it tibula?
Tibula, I know.
That's what it said on here. That's uh-huh. I don't. You can just look that up. I might have gone wrong, but
tibia.
Yeah, he, so.
I knew it was in the leg. It's in the leg. Tibula.
So yeah,
so he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he missed one for a fractured one down there.
Yeah, so
it's like around where your shin is at. Like,
yeah, so he, there. Yeah.
But he's probably got like an older injury.
Yeah, that's
or something
what we're gonna. That's what I was discussing. Yeah, Chase Elliott used the off season to undergo a procedure to fix an old injury on his shoulder.
Hey, this is
what he quoted. I had a little procedure on my shoulder. This was according to Twitter, or I should say X. I had an old injury that I needed to get tended to, and obviously the offseason is a much better time to do it than my last injury. Here we are, and everything is all good. Ready to go for 2024. Certainly looking forward to the Daytona 500 coming up in February. So,
this is the first time Elliott's full-time Cup career that he missed any races.
Yeah, last season. Yeah, 2023. Let's go into some more positive news, shall we? Okay, everyone knows the.
Should I break it to him?
You want
to
do it? You're really you know, hyped up and excited and about this news.
So you know how one of my most favorite racing movies is the Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby,
Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly.
Yep.
I mean, the same guys that were in Step Brothers. I love that movie. That's a great movie.
Well,
if you have not seen that movie, go check it out.
Apparently. My man Kevin Harvick.
Yep, my
decided
man
decided.
He said he was
to buy the Ricky Bobby estate.
Yeah. I thought that was awesome.
And the first quote from this article here, from ESPN.
ESPN, yep.
Says there's no telling if there will be a bountiful harvest of fast food pizza, fried chicken, and tacos at the housewarming party. But newly retired NASCAR driver Kevin Harvick and his wife have recently brought. The home, and for made famous for its appearance in the movie Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Yep.
One of my personal favorite movies.
Oh, it's a great movie. So, funny thing is that why Kevin Harvick bought this house, because he was downsizing. Yep. He was downsizing. That's why they bought the house. I'm about to just mention, you know, about the house. I'm really intrigued. I watched a YouTube video about it. That's how I knew it was about downsizing. So the Harvicks purchased the 12,042 square foot mansion in late October for $6.75 million. This is a 6-bedroom, 9-bathroom home, which boasts a 1.31-acre lot and includes 2 docks, a boat lift, a sandy beach area, putting green. And an infinity pool with a hot tub is located off Lake Norman in Cornelius, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. How about that?
That's a nice house.
Yeah. I mean.
I wonder if they'll have their grandfather over and have two annoying / bratty kids.
I know, imagine.
Yeah, well. Hey, shut up, Chip.
Man.
We were throwing so much chips, but warm ass off the bridge.
Oh man, I remember the part where he's
I'm
like,
"Come at you like a spider monkey."
Oh man, I absolutely love that. I love
not
that.
I'm 10 years old, but I can still kick your butt.
Exactly.
I'm all hopped up on Mountain Dew.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. I remember that. Oh my goodness gracious! Wow. Man, so shout out to Kevin Harvick. Like, let's give a round of applause for Kevin Harvick, guys. You know,
Dear 6 pound, 8 ounce, sweet baby Jesus.
and then the grandpa.
Look, I like the baby Jesus version better.
Oh, man. Oh,
when
man.
I pray, I like to see my Jesus in a tuxedo shirt. So it's like formal. I'm here to party.
Cal Naughton Jr. And,
I like and, to see and my Chip Jesus was with like, giant Chip, wings.
Chip was like, Jesus was a man with a beard. I remember that. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, that's such a great movie. That is, he's like, I like the baby Jesus better, okay? You hear me? I win the races. I make the money.
When you pray to your Jesus, you can pray to adult Jesus, baby Jesus, teenage Jesus, prepubescent Jesus.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. I just want to give a round of applause for Kevin Hart for, you know, keeping the legacy of Ricky Bobby and Talladega Nights alive. Like,
we got the sound effect.
No, I just gave him a round of applause. Right. We just did that. I think that's super cool. I mean, I think
if I had the money,
I think it's very
it
suitable for Kevin Harvick. I mean, it's 60 NASCAR Cup Series wins. He's 10th all time in wins, and he's the 2014 NASCAR Cup Series champion. So, like, you know, why not? I have some more interesting NASCAR news. We're going to dive into Josh Williams. Shout out to Josh Williams. I met him at Homestead Miami Speedway. Great guy.
You telling me about that.
Amazing guy. Amazing guy. He is best known for parking his car during the Spring Atlanta race at Atlanta Motor Speedway right on the front straightaway. Yep, it's pretty awesome. But shout! I mean, he's a grinder, man. I'm all for this move by Colleague Racing. You're giving this guy a shot to go win races in 2024 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. All for it. I love that. You know, I love those. You know, hardworking. You know, get your hands dirty. You know, coming from the ground up by yourself.
Pulling yourself up by the bootstraps.
Yeah, exactly. You're not. You know, giving free handouts and you know, daddy or mommy's money. You're not one of those. You know, type of drivers or you know, people. I think that's awesome.
If I wreck, my daddy can pay for the car.
Yeah, you know, I'm racing in you know the series because I have sponsorship. I mean, I get that's you know real. I mean, sponsorship
Me.
From my you know family and everything like that. Like.
Me.
But
sorry, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah. I think that's amazing. I truly do. Mm-hmm. He deserves it. I'm excited. I really am. And he's getting paired up with the Dinger. AJ Allmendinger. Okay. That's his nickname, dude. That is his nickname. You talk about, you know, the closest thing to Jimmy Spencer in today's age for the NASCAR Cup Series and Xfinity Series for personality, that guy, Mr. Excitement, after him winning, like, dude, you just feel goosebumps in the adrenaline. He's like, let's go! Like, after he dominated the NASCAR Cup Series race at the Charlotte Roval. Now, I think people, you know, really, you know, don't take that in or, you know, don't think about that. AJ Allmendinger dominated. He didn't just lead one lap, dominated that race.
Oh, yeah.
Which, it's very unfortunate that he will be racing in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. I mean, I'm happiest for Colleague, but he is a NASCAR Cup Series driver. He should be in the NASCAR Cup Series. That there's no doubt.
He should not have been moved back.
No. But at least he's staying
in NASCAR.
Yeah, he's staying in NASCAR with the team that's kind of revived his career. And, you know, the people that he loves, the team that he loves the most, he's staying with those people. Matt Colleague, Chris Rice, all those guys. I mean, Colleague Racing have, you know, from – I remember when they had Blake Koch was driving for them in their first seasons in the NASCAR Xfinity Series from the ground up. And look at where they are now. They are a championship contender in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and their Cup program is just going to get better and better. I don't really, you know, I'm not sure who Colleague is going to sign, but, you know, we talked about it that, you know, from Bob Pockrass last episode that, you know, to replace AJ Allmendinger, It's trending towards Ty Dillon, which, I'm not really going to go into much more detail and, you know, go on a huge rant and stuff like that because that's just not right. But, so he's getting Josh Williams is going to have some help. He's going to have some help. He's going to be getting paired up with a veteran driver, multiple NASCAR Xfinity Series wins, multiple NASCAR Cup Series wins. He's also raced in supercars, so and Indy cars. So he's done it all. He's seen it all.
And a quote from him from that is, "After only an hour in the shop, I already feel like it's home. I've known a lot of these guys for a long time, and I feel like coming over here would give us a good opportunity to get wins. That's the goal, trophy hunting."
Yeah, this article is from motorsport.com. The trophy hunting is a phrase, you know, made by Chris Rice. I'm gonna quote from Chris Rice here about Josh Williams, the president of Colleague Racing. "Josh Williams has fought tooth and nail for everything in his racing career, and we're really excited to have him race for us. We love his energy and passion at the track, and we think his personality and drive will fit in with the Colleague Racing culture." Oh, yeah, for sure, the energy and passion. Just meeting the guy. How much he loves the fans and how much he loves, you know, racing NASCAR Xfinity Series, just how much he truly loves it. He doesn't take it for granted. I mean, I'm meeting that guy. We're just minutes away from the green flag being dropped at Homestead Miami Speedway for the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Took a picture with us. What a guy. And I told him, I was like, you know, when you parked your car on the front straightaway at Atlanta Motor Speedway, that was probably one of the most amazing, unique, special, and coolest things I've ever seen in NASCAR. I mean, he just parked it right on the front straightaway and walked out. Like, see, like, because, you know, he
Speedo's moment.
So, I'll talk about Josh Williams and his stats. He's made 186 starts in the NASCAR Xfinity Series with 11 top 10s and his best points result of 15th. He spent those years in lower-tier equipment, most with Mario Gosselin's DGM racing team. He gained notoriety, earlier this year when he defied NASCAR and parked his car on the start-finish line at Atlanta Motor Speedway, leaving it there. So, yeah. That's kind of that's what
gave him the what are you gonna do about it?
Well, yeah, what are you gonna do about it? So
they love me.
Exactly.
You can't take this away from me.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that was cool.
Yeah, I think we're gonna take a 1 minute break here and then we'll come back and we'll transition into some IndyCar news. I didn't really see a lot of IndyCar news, but it'll definitely give us some time to, you know, look over some IndyCar news, see what's out there. We'll play two PSAs here. One about mental health, because mental health is so important in today's age and, you know, throughout the world. So everyone, please take care of yourselves when it comes to that. I just wanted to spread the message, spread the awareness. So we're going to take a 1 minute break here on the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. We'll be right back to what's up, buddy.
We're taking a break.
I know.
On the All Gas and No Brakes
radio show. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because we don't take breaks. That's really good. That's good. We're gonna take a quick break here, folks, and we'll come back with some IndyCar news. You are listening to Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the IHSAA and the Indiana Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
This conversation could save the life of a loved one.
Dad, so sorry.
Come here. Are you okay?
No.
You've seemed pretty down lately. Have you been thinking about taking your life?
Today, teens are at increased risk for experiencing anxiety and depression, and finding mental health support has become even more challenging. Get help at mylifeisworthliving.org/help and check out our YouTube channel for the first animated series about teen mental health.
And welcome back to the All Gas and No Breaks radio show. I'm Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly, your host of the All Gas and No Breaks radio show, and my co-host, Hank Williams Jr., long-lost son, Jeremiah Penrod. That's forever. That's how I'm hyping you up every time we get to an episode.
Hank Jr.
Yep, exactly. I mean,
Hank, wait. What would be Junior's junior?
Yeah, that... Yeah,
the second?
Or
third?
You'd probably be... I don't even know if he has a son or not. I have no idea. I
need to look this up.
This is interesting. So, we're going to go into some IndyCar news here. I have some articles here. One by IndyCar.com going over the IndyCar drivers who will be racing in the Rolex 24 at Daytona. And here are the guys that will be a part of the Rolex 24. So this is here we go. The field of at least 60 cars will include six-time IndyCar Series champion and three-time Rolex 24 winner Scott Dixon, reigning Indianapolis 500 champion Joseph Newgarden, and two-time champion of the IndyCar Series, and the pairing of podcast partners Alexander Rossi and James Hinchcliffe will be racing in the Rolex 24. Keep looking here.
It'd be the third. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it would be the third.
Okay.
Hank 3.
Here we go. 7 NTT IndyCar Series drivers will be listed on the preliminary entry list distributed by the IMSA this week. 5 will compete in the series top class, Grand Touring Pro, with Rossi and Kyle Kirkwood competing in the GTT Pro. NTT IndyCar Series team owners Roger Penske, Chip Ganassi, Michael Andretti, and Bobby Rahal, plus 1996 IndyCar Series champion Jimmy Valcer, also will field cars through various alliances. Colton Herta will also be racing in this Rolex 24. I'm going to keep looking here. Let's see if there's any more for Wayne Taylor racing with Andretti. They're very successful in the IMSA series. Oh, Jenson Button. I forgot to mention that 2009 Formula One champion will be racing in the Rolex 24. I think that's awesome. Shout out to Jenson. But I mean, he's driven Formula One cars. He's a 2009 champion of Formula One. He's raced in NASCARs. And now he's going to be racing the Rolex 24. Now he just has to hop in an Indy car.
He just needs to complete everything of that.
Yep. Oh, I also have some more news. This is a part of Scott Dixon and Tom Bloomquist, will be a part of the Cadillac program in the GTP Pro Series. For Chip Ganassi Racing. Plus, we haven't heard a lot of news from this guy in a really long time. One of the most successful IndyCar drivers of all time, 4-time IndyCar Series champion Sebastian Bourdais, will be racing for Cadillac with the pairing of Scott Dixon and Tom Blomqvist, and the 2014 Rolex 24 winner. And I'm also, you know, forgetting to mention Ringer Van. I can't even say this guy's name. Unfortunately, I think it's Ringer Van. I can't, buddy. He's one of the greatest drivers in the field for the IMSA series. It's the
Ringer Van Zande.
Yeah. So we might have butchered that name. I apologize.
Guarantee I did.
Yeah, but
where's Garrett when you need him?
Exactly. We apologize. We really do. We apologize.
Get like the spelling out of it. I think they need. Oh, that for
I'm also forgetting to mention that Marcus Ericsson, you know, the 2022 Indianapolis 500 winner will be racing in the Rolex 24 for obviously Andretti. You know, it's Wayne Taylor racing with Andretti. He'll be racing for them because he signed a big contract with Andretti to race in IndyCar, so that makes sense. So
you know what's funny? They have enough money to literally say, oh, yeah, this is our Rolex race.
Yeah, I'd love to go.
You
to
know how expensive those things are.
I'd love to go to this event. Like I'd love to go watch the Rolex 24. I'm not really big in the IMSA series, but when it comes to the Rolex 24, like it's 24-hour race. Like that's freaking awesome.
They call it the Rolex race because it costs as much as a Rolex to get into the thing, though.
But I think it's awesome. I do.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool. So that's we're gonna have some more IndyCar news here. This is according to motorsport.com. A non-points race for the IndyCar series is in good shape to run an expedition race in Argentina. Agustin Canapino, obviously being from Argentina, it's in the works. It is in the works, and that's really all we know of what's going on with the expedition race for IndyCar in Argentina. But that's really about all the IndyCar news I have. I mean, we talked about really everything else. We really
should be finishing up on time.
Yeah, so. And then you guys will tune into the Back Home Country show with Jeremiah Penrod. So it should be really exciting. But yeah, this episode was a fun episode. Unfortunately, Mr. Garrett Burkle could not join us. Missed that guy. The biggest Purdue fan I know. He'd be really proud of me. I did buy a Purdue shirt for the Oak and Bucket game. So boiler up and hammer down.
We'll make sure to tell you his reaction next time.
We'll make sure to tell you guys his reaction from. Me wearing that shirt and going to the game and all that, and just hearing what he has to say. But he is also the play-by-play broadcaster of basketball, football, so far for the Ben Davis Giants and Ben Davis Lady Giants. He's also done some color analyst work as well. So we love Garrett. He's a great guy, great person. So it was missed having him on the show, but we're just gonna dive right into the outro here. Jeremiah, do you have any last words before I do this, man?
No, that's about it. All right, buddy.
All right. So I'd like to thank Jeremiah Penrod and Garrett Burkle. Unfortunately, he's not here. For always working hard, supporting me, and always being a part of the show, and being great co-host of the All Gas and No Breaks radio show. So here we're going to hit the outro here, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do not tune into a live episode of the All Gas and No Breaks radio show on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety, that's okay because you can go to audioboom.com, search up WBDG and the All Gas and No Breaks radio show, and you'll find a live episode that you missed. For Jeremiah Penrod, for Garrett Burkle, I'm Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Thank you for tuning in to the All Gas and No Breaks radio show. We'll see you later in the next episode. Big Nelly out!